This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma.
Welcome to the program today. This is Don Boyd with the Blue Springs Church of Christ. I want to welcome you to Opening the Scriptures. Today, in our studies of the 15 periods of Bible history, we come to the Egyptian period. The Egyptian period of Bible history began when Jacob's family moved to Egypt from Canaan during the time of Joseph, whenever he was prime minister there over Egypt. And it covers about 215 years until the Israelites were delivered from Egyptian bondage. That would be from Genesis chapter 46 verse 8 through Exodus chapter 14. Events that occurred during this period include the death of Jacob, the death of Joseph, Israelite slavery in Egypt, the birth of Moses and the events of his life in Egypt and in Midian, such as the death of the Egyptian, the burning bush, etc. The Passover being established, the Exodus out of the land of Egypt, and the parting of the Red Sea. Today, I want to focus on a sermon that was preached by God. We want to look at God's 10-point sermon to the world. Now, first, I want to look at the setting for God's 10-point sermon here. There was a Pharaoh who arose in Egypt who had no respect for Joseph. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." Adam Clark, in his commentary, said this, and I quote, "The verb yada, which we translate to know, often signifies to acknowledge or approve. We may therefore understand by the new king's not knowing Joseph, his disapproving of that system of government which Joseph had established, as well as his haughtily refusing to acknowledge the obligations under which the whole land of Egypt was laid to this eminent prime minister of one of his predecessors," unquote. So as Clark is saying here, the Hebrew word there can mean that he did not approve, he didn't acknowledge of Joseph, even though Joseph would have been well known. Because later on, whenever they left the land of Egypt, they still knew where Joseph's bones were because they took them with them to the land of Canaan. So this new king, and it is believed that this is whenever the Egyptians came in and conquered the Hyksos rulers who were there before them. Barnes in his commentary states this, and I quote, "At present, the generality of Egyptian scholars identify this pharaoh with Ramses II, but all the conditions of the narrative are fulfilled in the person of Amosis, the head of the 18th dynasty. He was the descendant of the old Theban sovereigns, but his family was tributary to the dynasty of the shepherds, the Hyksos of Manetho, then ruling in North Egypt. Amosis married an Ethiopian princess, and in the third year of his reign captured Avaris or Zoan, the capital of the Hyksos, and completed the expulsion of that race," unquote. So we see then that at this time, the rulers there began to reign again. You know, the Hyksos had conquered the Egyptians before that, and now the Egyptians had risen up and retaken the land. Pharaoh made the Israelites into slaves. Exodus 1:11-14. It says, "Therefore did they set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick and in all manner of the service of the field. All their service wherein they made them to serve was with rigor. So then the Egyptians here made them into slaves. And we go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, that God heard their cry. Exodus 3, 7 through 10. God speaking to Moses there at the burning bush. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, it took some convincing there on God's part, but Moses finally went. Now, we come to Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, and we see God's demand there to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And then verse 4, And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens? So God was about to let Pharaoh know who God is. Now let's look at God's 10-point sermon here. It's to Pharaoh and the Egyptians, but it's to the world as well. In Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 24, we see that God turned water into blood. Exodus 7, 14 through 24. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. The American Standard Version says stubborn. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the river, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come, in other words, to meet him there. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite the rod, or with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters, which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. Now continue reading there, verse 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. That there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. Verse 20, And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. verse 21. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. The Egyptians worshipped the Nile River, and Pharaoh went down to the river each morning to wake up the god of the Nile, and Pharaoh thought he himself was a god as well. But God turned that water to blood, and Egypt stank. Now that would also affect the Israelites as well, because they would have been in Egypt, so that stink affected everyone. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, we see that God then set frogs upon the land of Egypt. Exodus 8, 1 through 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs. Get my page turned here. Abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants and upon thy people and into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, and over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Now can you imagine, we'll stop reading there, we begin again in just a minute, verse 8. Can you imagine having frogs in your bed? Frogs in your oven, frogs in your chair, frogs everywhere. Well, verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. In other words, tell me when. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for the people to destroy the frogs from thee and from thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? Now, I want to think about this for a minute as well. Look at Pharaoh's answer. He said, Tomorrow. Tomorrow. If I had those frogs all over the place and I said, When can I get rid of them? Get rid of them now. No, Pharaoh said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. So he said, Do it tomorrow. And that's when it happened. Again, proving that God was in control. Verse 11. And the frog shall depart from thee. Let me finish reading verse 10. Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know there is none like unto the Lord our God. Again, proving God is Lord there. And the frog shall depart from thee, and from thine house, and from thy servants, and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, and out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together up on heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Again, frogs are something that seem to have played a part in Egyptian religion as a symbol of life. But because God didn't just send the frogs away, no, the frogs died and the land of Egypt stank. Now, from the reading there, it appears that the frogs were only upon Pharaoh and his servants and the people of Egypt, not upon the Israelites. But with the land of Egypt stinking, with dead frogs everywhere, that would affect the Israelites as well. Now we go to Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 to 19, to see the third point of God's sermon, and that is lice. Exodus 8, 16 to 19. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod, and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice upon man and upon beast. Now you recall in the last couple there of the first two points of God's sermon there, that the magicians, through their magic, were able to pretend that they could do the very same thing. But we'll notice here in verse 19, the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. This is the first time the magicians of Egypt couldn't imitate what Moses and Aaron had done through trickery. They could not do it. And again, can you imagine having lice all over you, all over everything? And they said, this is the finger of God. Well, let's get to point number four of God's sermon. Well, let's continue reading here. Verse 20 here, we have flies. Exodus chapter 8, verse 20 to 32. This is God's fourth point. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms. And you'll notice of flies there's in italics. This means that was added by the translators. So it's going to be swarms upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people and to thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. So not only their houses, but the ground and the air, full of flies or whatever the swarm may be. The Hebrew word there for flies, according to Strong's, means a mosquito from its swarming. So this may be mosquitoes. So can you imagine that? Verse 22. He says, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord and am the Lord in the midst of the earth. So these other plagues affected the Israelites as well. This one's not. God is now going to separate his people from the rest of the land, and they're not going to suffer through these plagues, but the rest of the land shall. Now verse 23. And I will put division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so. And there came a grievous swarm into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm. Again, of flies, it says here, could be mosquitoes. But you go to Psalm 78:45 before we continue reading here. Psalm 78, verse 45. It says, he sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. So there were different kinds of flies or flying insects in these swarms. So it could be house flies, could be green flies, could be mosquitoes, all these different kinds of flies in these swarms. Now let's go back to verse 25 of Exodus 8. And Pharaoh called for Moses, for Aaron said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? Now, they're going to be sacrificing cattle. Cattle were worshipped in Egypt. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let ye go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. You know, whenever you look at this, Pharaoh is hardening his heart. Everything's gone back to normal again, so forget it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. You know, Pharaoh did suggest a compromise there in chapter 8, verse 25. In other words, you don't have to follow God's commands perfectly, do you? Do it this way instead. You know, Pharaoh has a lot of followers in the religious world today. Praise teams, mechanical instruments of music, children's church, just agree to disagree. Surely God will accept you if you're sincere. And that's what they teach. But Moses rejected Pharaoh's offer, and God rejects those things as well. Then Pharaoh offered another compromise there in verse 28, didn't he? Don't go very far away. Only a slight variation from God's command. Well, Satan is telling us, you don't have to go very far away from the world. Go ahead and enjoy the pleasures of sin. Drink alcohol, smoke that marijuana, dance, gamble. And then there's those other things that get in our way, like sports, work, and family. You know, God did not and God will not accept compromise of his commands. You know, the plagues continued. They didn't stop, did they? In chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, we see murrain, which is a disease of the animals. Exodus chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Then the Lord said unto Moses, this is the fifth point in God's sermon, Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the donkeys, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel, or that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Verse 6, The Lord did that thing on the morrow, and the cattle of Egypt died. But the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Still being stubborn. You know, God is telling Pharaoh, I am God. And Pharaoh is saying, I don't care. He's rejecting God's authority. So many people today know what they must do to be pleasing to God, but they have the same answer. I don't care. Now the sixth point in God's sermon is in Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 12, and that is boils and blames. Exodus 9, 8 through 12. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnaces, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has spoken unto Moses. You know, there are people here that will try to say, yeah, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He didn't have a choice. No. We've seen in the other times that, yeah, Pharaoh had a choice. He hardened his own heart. The way that God hardened Pharaoh's heart was he taught Pharaoh who he is, and Pharaoh rejected it. Now, what about the boils and blains? A boil, and again, this is Strong's definitions for both of these. A boil means to burn, inflammation, that is, an ulcer. So an ulcer in the skin. Blain means to belch forth as an inflammatory pustule, as eruption. So these are ulcers that are belching forth this pus from the skin. Some say that the ashes were from a furnace used to worship the Egyptian god Typhon. Others say the ashes represented Egypt's industrial prosperity, ashes from kilns used in the production of lime, pottery, and metals. But Pharaoh still rejected God's authority, so God continued his sermon. In Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 to 35, we see thunder, hail, and lightning. Now, first of all, I want to read verses 13 to 21, because in these verses, God gives Pharaoh and the Egyptians a warning, and he gives them ample time to prepare. Just as God warns all of mankind, the judgment day is coming. He gives us ample time to prepare. Yet, like most of the Egyptians, people refuse to prepare for that great day. Now, let's go read verses 13 through 21 of Exodus chapter 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in the very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show thee in my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So this is why it's God's 10-point sermon to the world. Now verse 17. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as not been seen in Egypt since the foundation thereof even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. So God is saying, I'm going to give you warning, and I'm going to give you time to prepare. You need to prepare. Verse 20, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the house. So there were those that were preparing, those who did believe God. Verse 21, and he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Just as those are today, some respect God's word and obey it, and some do not. You know, only those who fear God and obey his will be saved. Jesus said in Mark 16:15 and 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, we're going to notice some things here. Pharaoh is actually going to confess and acknowledge God. Let's read beginning there in verse 22 down to verse 35. And the Lord said unto unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward the heaven, that there may be hail in the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. Verse 25. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Verse 27, this is where he confesses God. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Verse 29, and Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad mine hands of the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold, but the wheat and rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. In other words, they hadn't come up yet. Verse 33. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread forth his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. God knew that he wasn't going to do that. But you see, times were hard, life was going bad. Pharaoh called on God, and as soon as God cleared everything up, Pharaoh forgot God. And that's the way people are today. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through 20, we have the plague of locusts. That's God's next point in his sermon. Well, again, we have a warning. Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I've hardened his heart. Again, through God. It wasn't God forced him to harden it, but he hardened his heart through doing what God does. And that is doing God's things God's way. The truth hardens hearts. And the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I've wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Again, remember that Pharaoh thought that he himself was a god. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since that day they were upon the earth unto this day. and he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. That's a warning. There are going to be so many locusts, and those locusts, you go in and you read about it, they were probably about 3 inches long, and they're going to be everywhere. You're going to be stepping on them. They're going to be in your houses. They're going to be in your bed. They're going to be on you. They're going to be everywhere. Well, in verse 7, Pharaoh's servants plead with Pharaoh. Pharaoh's servants said unto him, "How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" God did that. So Pharaoh comes up with a third compromise, verses 8 through 11. And Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said unto them, "Go serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young men, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And he said unto them, "Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you." Now verse 11, he says, "Not so," in other words, not all, everybody. "Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. In other words, let the men go and leave everything else. Again, he's just trying to tell them, all you got to do is obey this part of God's command, and that's all you got to do. And that's the way the false teachers do today. You know, like Billy Graham did not teach baptism was necessary for salvation, like the Bible does. Oh, just obey this part of it, just like Pharaoh there. So what happened? God kept on preaching, verses 12 to 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the field, even all that the hail hath left." And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt, and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. No thing ever like that, ever had been or ever will be. Verse 15, "For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt." Well, Pharaoh then showed a shallow repentance, verses 16 to 20. "Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. And there remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go." In other words, Pharaoh just hardened his heart again. That's shallow. That is shallow. In Exodus 10, 21 to 29, we see God's ninth point in this sermon, and that is darkness. Exodus 10, 21 to 29. "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over all the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Think about that, not moving for 3 days. It is so dark. Darkness you can feel. Verse 24. Here we have Pharaoh's fourth compromise. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. People try so hard to compromise God's word in one way or another. You can always find somewhere to allow the kind of life you want to live. That's why there's so many denominations. Every one of them is compromising God's way or God's word in one way or another. Well, Moses rejected that compromise also, verses 25 and 26. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God. And we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. And then we see the last meeting of Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron, verses 27 through 29. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Now we'll stop right there. People who do not want to obey God's will are finally going to get tired of you trying to tell them to obey, and they're just going to reject you. And that's what Pharaoh did. You get out of my face. Don't you see my face again? You come here again, you are going to die. I'm tired of seeing you. Verse 29, Moses said, Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. We come to God's final point of his sermon. Point number 10, the death of the firstborn of man and animal. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. He's not just going to let you go. He's going to kick you out, in other words. Verse 2. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and let every woman of her neighbor jewels and silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of his people. Verse 4, And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn beasts. Verse 6, And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So not only is this teaching Egypt, it's teaching Israel also. Verse 8. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. So God is telling Pharaoh, Moses is telling Pharaoh this. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh will not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. So there's the warning of what is going to happen. Now let's go down to chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 29 to 36. The institution of the Passover is given there in the first part. But let's read verses 29 to 36. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon his throne, and to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. You think he might have understood something. Verse 33. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We be all dead men. And the people took of their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound upon their clothes, upon their shoulders, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians there. So God's final point of his sermon convinced Pharaoh to let the people go. Again, Pharaoh considered himself to be a god, but he could not keep death away even from his own house. And God's sermon was heard by the world. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 17. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. And then that goes back to Exodus 9:16. Look at some examples that the earth heard. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is Rahab speaking. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You think the world heard. In Joshua chapter 9, verse 9, these are the Gibeonites. It says there, verse 8, And they said to Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country. Of course, they're lying here, but he said, Thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard of the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. The Philistines heard as well. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. And you look at the time. This is 525 years later. 1 Samuel 4, 3 through 8. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Well, they were unfaithful to God, is why they couldn't win. Verse 4. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. The Philistines knew. God's 10-point sermon to the world. And that sermon is still spoken today. In God's sermon, we see God's power. We see His compassion and His demand for obedience. Things have not changed. God is still all-powerful. God is still full of compassion. God will still not allow His word to be compromised, and those who do will be punished. Well, again, this is Don Boyd. I want to thank you for joining us today in the lesson today. I hope it is encouraging to you and informative to you, and we look forward to being with you next time.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And we encourage you to please share this program, to like it on social media. Thank you for being with us today.